there have been more than a few times when I've had to put my faith in Jesus Christ. And I believe that when I was saved is the time that I had to put my faith in Him the most. I had to take a leap of faith, and I had to understand things that I could not see, but I could feel. And I had to take that and take it to the altar. Now, I stand before you tonight to tell you that no matter how much we try to silence it, no matter how much society tries to push it away, the Word of God will stand forever. And I tell you this because that is proven to us in the Bible. It says in the Bible that it will stay forever. It will never be gone, and it will be through all eternity what we base our lives on. Now, that doesn't have much to do with what I was brought tonight, but I felt that I needed to say it. So if you'll grab your books and turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Now, it begins saying this: Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, let me explain something to you here. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. We were given a choice. Way back in the book of Genesis, it says that there was created a tree. It was called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We were to eat of every other tree in the garden, but we were not to eat of that tree. But we did partake of the fruit. We did commit the first sin. And the aftermath of that is still with us today. We have been born into sin. We have been slaves to sin for thousands of years. But I'm here to tell you tonight that there is a way out, friend. If you have never been saved, let me tell you that you do not have to let sin reign in your mortal body, because there came a man named Jesus. He died on a cross for your sins. You do not have to let it control you. You were not only given a choice back then, but you have also been given a choice now. You've been given a choice to, through Jesus, be redeemed of your sins. Now, as we read on, it says, Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, as we read this, we begin to understand that whenever we make this choice to follow God, we understand that we are now no longer slaves to sins, but servants of righteousness. We go out into the world and we show God's righteousness through us, because no longer is it our righteousness, as has been preached, our righteousness as is in dirty rags in the sight of God. Disgusting rags. But through His righteousness do we put into the world for them to see Jesus through us. And as servants of righteousness, we are instruments of righteousness unto God. We are servants of righteousness, and we are servants of God. And God uses us as He sees fit. He's got a plan for all of us here. First and foremost, it says in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The important word here that we're going to focus on is world. He didn't just come for a select group of people that would enter the doors of a church. He came for all that would come unto Him. He came for all that would ever bow down at an altar to seek His, to seek His grace. He came for the entire world, all that has ever been, all that ever will be. And as we read on, it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Now we read this and we say, as it says in the next verse, "What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. No, we shall not sin, for we are not under the law, because as under grace, we are permitted righteousness. We are permitted to dwell in Jesus, and through Him we produce the fruits of the Spirit." Now, I've preached on this before, the many fruits of the Spirit. Now, I actually have it bookmarked over here. And it says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now we read this, and I won't get into the fruits of the Spirit too much, but I will say this. All of these, "against such there is no law, for we are no longer under the law, but under grace, for with which we produce these fruits, so that they out in the world may see us as an example, may see us as a light unto the world, that we might bring them unto this door, that we might bring them unto this altar, that they might be saved." Now we also read on and it says, "Know ye not," in the 16th verse, "know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." We are servants to something here tonight, church. We are either servants to sin, or we are servants to the Lord, and we are servants to righteousness. We have been given a choice. We can either serve sin, or we can serve a God. Now, as you come tonight, sinner friend, I ask you, please, make the choice. It's very simple. Because it says, "Whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." I'm going to skip down and I'm going to, in the same chapter, in the 23rd verse, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." If you have ever committed a sin, and you have because you were born into sin, you will die. We all will die. There is only one who did not deserve to die. That was Jesus. And He died for us that we may not have, we will still experience a physical, mortal death. But because He died a death that He would not, that He would, He died a death that we might never die spiritually. That we would go to heaven. That we would live forever with Him, our Savior. And it goes on to say, "Or of obedience to righteousness." Now, once you make this decision, you are not just given. You are not just taken. And you are not just, how do I put this? Whenever you're under sin, we've all been under sin. You produce things against God. You produce things that God sees unfit, that the world might sometimes see fit, but mostly that the world and God Himself sees unfit. But under righteousness, we produce things that are productive. They're not only productive, but that are helpful to our God, that are helpful to our church, that are helpful to our community. We are given these tools within ourselves that let us produce fruits of the Spirit, as I come back to that. And now it says in the 17th verse, "But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but that ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." Now I want to stop here for a second and I want to look. That ye were servants of sin, for we all were, but ye have obeyed from the heart. You have It's in your heart. You have to obey from your heart if you're ever to be saved. You have to come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That is the only way to ever be saved. And it goes on and it says, that form of doctrine which is delivered to you. Now I want to stop here for a second. I want to talk about the deliverer. The deliverer of the doctrine. The doctrine being salvation. You look at me and you see that I'm a preacher. You think of me as a deliverer. But I want to think it back on you, and I want to look at you. The way that you live your daily lives, the way that you go out into your workplace, the way that you go out into your school, you are also deliverers. The way that you uphold yourselves, the way that people look at you, all of us have been called to deliver the Word of God. It's not just the preacher. It's not just the Sunday school teacher. It's all that have ever been saved. Now we read on, being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And it says again that we have now been freed from sin. Our chains have been broken. We are no longer held to sin, but now to righteousness. Now we are given a righteousness that will get us into heaven. Now we are given a righteousness that when we go out into the world sees us as a beacon. And I want to talk about that. You are not only a deliverer, but a beacon. The world looks on you to see Jesus. We are a beacon unto the world. This church is. We're a beacon to say, come. Come and be saved. Become servants of righteousness and free yourself from sin. And it says in the 19th verse, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity, Now it says here, we have taken ourselves and made ourselves servants of iniquity. We were born into that. We were made that. We chose that thousands of years ago. And it says, even so now yield your member servants to righteousness unto holiness. It calls us to not only be righteous, but also holy. We have been given a righteousness and a holiness that we might go out into this world and we might be that beacon into righteousness and holiness, that people might find a Jesus that can save their never dying soul. And it reads on, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. We are not held to a righteousness whenever we are servants of sin. We are not held to a standard. The only standard we hold is the one that we hold ourselves by. Now, what standard that may be, is up to us, whether it be a high or a low one, whether it be upstanding or whether it be low. We held ourselves to our own standard, a standard of sin. Whether it be to sin little or sin much, it's our standard and it is still a standard of sin. But it says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. We can look back upon our lives and we all have something that we're ashamed of. We look back upon our lives and we look at the fruits that we've produced and we look at the things that we've done and we all have things that we're ashamed of. But I'm telling you tonight that there's one thing that you'll never be ashamed of. If you come to an altar, if you'll bow your knee, if you will bow your head, open your heart unto the Lord and let Him save you, you'll never regret it. You'll never be ashamed of it. And again, as you produce these fruits of the Spirit, you'll never be ashamed again. Now what? In the 22nd verse it says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Now I want to read here. It says, being made free from sin completely washed, 100%, paid in full, free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. That changed a little bit, that end there. What used to be death is now life, and life everlasting. This scripture right here, it lays out pretty much how we see our lives. It lays out before and after we become servants of God. It shows us what we have whenever we're servants of sin. And it shows us what we have whenever we're servants of a never dying God, an almighty God. It shows us what we may have as servants for those who are in sin. It shows us what you can have. Holiness. Righteousness. Now I want to look back and I want to show you one more thing. I'm not going to read all these different verses, but I want you to look at this. I was studying and over the mission trip, and I realized something that if you look in the Old Testament, the story of the Israelites' journey is a lot like ours. You see that they are in bondage in Egypt. They're in bondage to a place that they no longer want to be. And then they start asking for a Savior. They start looking for a Savior. They are given instead a deliverer to take them out of Egypt. They are given a way out of the hand of Egypt and Pharaoh. And they follow Moses. He is their leader unto a whole new world that none of them have ever seen before. Now we look and we see that Moses leads them to the Red Sea. And this is the turning point where we see that the Egyptians are following after them and they have to make a choice. Do they go back to Egypt where they know that there's food, that there's water, that there's good things that they're used to? Or do they make the decision to go out on faith, follow Moses across the sea, and to see what happens in the great unknown? Now we look at this and we see as the Israelites are in bondage, this represents us as in sin. I'm going to take this off because it keeps messing with the mic. Thank you. But we see that the Israelites were in bondage, and we see this as us in bondage of sin. And we were given, where they were given a leader, we were given a Savior. Now we look at this. And they followed willingly until they got to the Red Sea, and they realized that their sin, that their Egyptians were behind them, and we get to our Red Sea. We get to that one place where we actually have to take a leap of faith, where we have to decide, this is what I want to do with my life. We have to realize that this Jesus can take us where we need to go. And then sin comes up behind us. Sin comes knocking at the door. It comes and says, hey, come back to Egypt. You know that there's water here. You know that there's food here. You know that we have the things to sustain your life. This Jesus, He has promised you everlasting life. This Jesus has promised you a new world. And as we see the Israelites' journey to Canaan, we see that they mess up a lot. As people do, as we do. But we see that each time, God may chastise them and God may punish them, but He still gets them where He promised that they would go. They still get into Canaan land. Although they may make mistakes, although they may not be perfect, God still takes them where they need to go. He gets them where He promised. Even though they didn't deserve it, even though we don't deserve it, God gets us where He promised us. Even though we make mistakes, even though we fall, even though we go out into the wilderness, God still guides us back and God still takes us into Canaan land. And as we see, I want to point out one more thing. Where Moses was a leader, and I said this earlier, Moses was just a leader. Quite honestly, the greatest leader that we've ever had. But he was just a leader. He still followed a God. Whereas Jesus is a Savior. He was fully God and fully man. He followed his God because he was God. He was the second part of the Trinity. And he is what can lead you out of sin tonight. He is what can take you from your bondage into a land where the milk and honey flows. Where the grapes are so big and so sweet that it takes two people to carry them. He can take you into a land where you might not always know where you're going. But you know that the end result will always be good. Because you're following him. Come with a song. That's all I've gotten. I just want to say that this altar's open tonight. It's never been closed, and I don't think that it ever will be.